This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Live from Seahawks training camp, powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is Wyman and Bob live from the VMAC. Things wrapped up for the day out here. We're just looking at the field being watered. Turf the dog chasing the sprinklers. It's a glorious sight out here as it continues to get warmer and warmer. Joining us now, he joined us. We had a bonus edition of Paul Moyer earlier in the show in person.
It's Paul Moyer Day.
It is. It should be that every day. A man of his caliber, a man of his stature, who joins us now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Hello, Paul.
Hello there. It's been a while. Are you guys still sweating?
We're each 4 to 7 pounds lighter than we were when you saw us earlier today.
Oh, I feel bad. I'm sitting in my air conditioned house and having a nice.
Okay, that's enough. Paul, I'm down to 275.
He's melting away. He's a reed. He's a stick. You can barely see him now. Hey, I wanted to, before we get into Seahawks stuff, we play these cuts. If you've got the Aaron Rodgers cuts, Mike, I want to get Paul's reaction to this because I think it's an interesting conversation about Aaron Rodgers and what's going on in Green Bay. And he held a press conference yesterday where he may have been about as direct to the point, no vagary, no generality, speaking specifically to what his issues were, more than I've heard just about any other player I can think of that was still playing for said team in any sport. And here he is, cut number 8, just talking about, you know, doesn't want to be a lame duck quarterback.
If you can't commit to me past 2021, and I'm not a part of recruiting process and free agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen. Like I said, it wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money.
So really to the point there. Now, cut. I want to just play these three, and then you can respond, Paul. Cut number 9, here he is talking about players that were core members of this foundation, of the foundation of that team, in his opinion, that weren't retained or they were lowballed. Here's what he had to say.
Just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, T.J. Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all or were extremely lowballed or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved.
So there's that one. And then the final one. He says, you know, this is one I can appreciate, even if you're somebody that doesn't like him. He's like, hey, listen, I'm fine. I've made a lot of money. I'm not a victim here.
I'm not a victim here at all. I just want to reiterate that. Like, I've been paid a ton of money by this organization. I'm so thankful to be a starter here for my 14th season. Not many guys have the opportunity to do that. So I'm not, I don't feel like anything's been done to me. It's a business. It's an incredible opportunity to play this game. It's a tough business, too, though. And this is part of it. So I totally get that point. And that's not lost on me. That's why I'm just going to enjoy this season like I did last year, have the right perspective, and then make decisions at the end of the season.
So a lot to digest there, Paul. What do you think of what he had to say?
Well, let me go with, first of all, I think, you know, he's full of crap.
all right.
I'm just listening to that whole thing. I listened to it a few times, too. It was just start with a lame duck QB. He had 3 years left on his contract. How are you a lame duck? And you know, they restructured it. So this is basically his last year, you know, or at least, you know, for if he wants to move on. And all of his upfront money, even if he leaves, will not have to be given back. So he's going to be able to double dip in this contract, which is pretty interesting. So, I just thought that part was interesting. I thought the players not respected and and being lowballed. I always find it fascinating when a quarterback takes up 15 to 20% of the salary cap that he then says these other players are lowballed. You can help in that. You know, you could have gone to them and said, hey, I want to restructure my contract. I want to help this team out. So, again, I think he's very hypocritical on some of this. And maybe he's right, you know, on some, you know, that the players weren't respected. Maybe that's part of the MO or what they've done in Green Bay. And it certainly doesn't bode well for the future, you know, of players wanting to come there. But at the same time, I go, what's the point of this? I mean, why wouldn't you just say that behind closed doors? I really don't understand what his thing is other than he's trying to make himself look good. And then the last one is, what was the last part, the third one?
Where he said he's not a victim, he's made a ton of money. Oh, and
yeah. So normally I would say, wow, talk about passive-aggressive. In this case, he's aggressively passive. And that normally you say, hey, you know what, I really like this player. Man, you know, personally, I like, but as you're about to trash him, right? He just came right from the get-go, trashed the organization and talked how horrible they were to people and, I mean, you know, aired his dirty laundry. And then at the end said, oh, and by the way, this isn't about money. It's always about money. So it is about money. It's about power. It's about what he perceives as respect. Look, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. Never have been. I don't think he has joy for the game. He doesn't seem like he's a real leader. It doesn't look like players are clamoring to go play with him. Even though he wants to be a part of the free agency part. And I have issues with anybody that, you know, throws people under the bus the way he did. And to me, he really was throwing people under the bus. He may have, every one of his points may be valid. I just don't like the way he did it. And here's the part that was most interesting to me as I was watching him do it. That wasn't a press conference. That was a statement. He had it written out, all the players. He was looking at his notes. So this was one of those, oh, hey, let's feed some questions and I've got some answers. You know, I'm going to make a statement and move on. It's interesting. I think they're going to struggle this year.
Just a bit of Mariner news for people. Some news coming out. I'm seeing a tweet from Ryan Divish. Mariners reliever Hector Santiago has been suspended for 80 games after testing positive for exogenous testosterone, a performance-enhancing substance in violation of Major League Baseball's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program. So nothing to do with rosin or spider tack or any of that. This is something completely separate from a guy who was the face of spider tack or rosin, I should say.
Yeah.
And now he's been suspended for 80 games, so you will not see him the rest of the season.
Oh, boy. Well, and Paul, yeah, you had a couple of notes on just going back with the Mariners, the trade the other day, and I was trying to remember, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I thought that my rookie year, Dave Brown, was traded, and I thought that, is that right? Do you remember it that way? Was it 87?
I think it was 87, Dave.
Yeah, because I remember, I knew Dave, and I remember sitting him being bummed out, and a lot of players on the team were bummed out too, but the trade of, you know, Kendall Graveman the other day apparently didn't go over very well. And so, I just was trying to draw parallels to at a time when you saw something really upset the chemistry of a team, and it sure seemed to not go over well there. And I'm just curious if you would agree. Is that a parallel with Dave Brown, or what did you think about that trade?
Well, I was thinking about the trade. And again, I think the trade's going to end up being good. It's starting to look pretty good right now. And, you know, them picking up Diego Castillo, who's legit closer. Go watch a YouTube on him, you guys. I mean, that's 98-100 and 4 foot movement, both down and out. And so, you know, that's a pretty good trade. It didn't look like we gave up too much for it. But I was thinking about chemistry. And I mean real chemistry. The joy of the game where you're on a roll. And the Mariners, who probably aren't the best team, I wouldn't say they're a top 10 team right now, but finding ways to win. And after Monday, just the joy of that win and what the locker room was feeling, that is so hard to duplicate. And so when DePoto ended up getting rid of or trading Graveman, it was a blunder. Again, I think the trade's going to work out well in the long run. But to try and reform that chemistry is difficult. And I was thinking 1986. I mean, how many times have you had just unbelievable chemistry as a team where you thought you were going to win every game? You were never out of it. It's just not that often in your life. And in 1986, we had that chemistry with the Seahawks. So I'm just giving my example here. We won our last five games of the year. We were the hottest team in the NFL.
You beat both the Super Bowl participants in that run, right? You beat the Giants and the Broncos, yeah. I think.
Yep, beat them both. But we lost Ken Easley. We lost Jeff Bryant the last five games. And then there were some role guys, you know, that came in and played. And we were on a roll. And I remember going into 1987. And partly we traded, I believe, Dave Brown. But then, you know, we signed in the supplemental draft. We ended up getting Brian Bosworth, right? And that kind of took away some of our chemistry. Then we went on strike. And when we came back, this is where I thought we lost it. And, again, I have great respect, a little passive-aggressive here, great respect for Chuck Knox. But he said something to us as a team, like we're lucky to be here because the scab players, the replacement players, went like 2-1 or 3-1. And without them, we wouldn't be in the playoffs. And he started to kind of dog us as players. And I think his motivation was probably right, but it did not go well. And I felt we lost the team. We lost the locker. We lost that chemistry. And so it's such a fine line. I think of what DePoto did, same thing, is the timing of it was critical. And everybody's talked about it now. I think we're starting to get over the emotion of that trade. But it's really hard to pull that locker room back. And so it'll be interesting, again, to see how that plays out the rest of the year.
Hey, Paul, where are you at with distractions? We always hear about that, and I think Dave and I tend to agree on it, that it's really overplayed in the media when, you know, the idea that, you know, if you're out there on the field and Dave's holding out and people are coming up to you, Paul, what do you think of Dave? What do you think of Dave? That somehow that's going to have a negative impact on the way you play during the season, that you're now distracted from your job. I just don't buy that. But I'm wondering, in the case of the Arizona Cardinals and Chandler Jones, a very, very good pass rusher, to say the least, who's saying, I want out. I don't want to be here. He's showing up so he doesn't get fined, but he wants to be traded. And I saw somebody writing about, you know, all this distraction. They don't need this distraction when they're trying to get Kyler Murray up to all this stuff. Where are you at? Do you buy that that's a distraction? Do you buy that, you know, these, even if it's not that specific thing, that anything you're asked about as a peripheral player is somehow going to take away from your performance?
Now, I don't think it affects individual performance. As a matter of fact, him holding out creates opportunities for some other guys. But with today's social media, and when a player says, I want to be traded, I don't want to be here anymore, I think it does take away from, well, if he does come back, you know, how much do we bring him, you know, I don't want to say trust is the right word, but, you know, how much do we bring him that closeness of the group again? That takes time. And that's why it's so difficult, again, Bob, you know, with the going back to the Mariners. And they have fought together, lost together, you know, had adversity together, pulled themselves up together. And then when you bring some outside people that haven't been a part of that, it's just, it's hard to build that, need a better word for chemistry, but chemistry. And so again, flip it over to Chandler Jones. If it's become, I don't want to be here, it's more to me if he comes back. How does that affect the team? It isn't going to influence them in camp, and each individual is working hard and excited to be there. So you're right. I don't think that's a distraction.
Paul, I've watched two Olympic events, badminton and rowboat.
Rowboat?
That's an Olympic event? The scullers, you know, the two-man rowing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like
so.
Crew? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rowboat. Picturing somebody in the front with an umbrella over their head.
Putting it simply, Bob, they're rowing a boat. So, yeah, that's pretty much the two events that I've watched so far. It's pretty interesting. The badminton, actually, is kind of – I was watching doubles, too, and it's just, like, they're so quick. And so, I mean, that was somewhat entertaining to me. I mean, honestly, I didn't mind watching that, but have you taken any Olympics in?
It's weird. I have not, other than I watched some golf, a few players from the U.S. I wanted to see. And even that, there's no fans out there, so it's very sterile. I haven't watched a minute of the Olympics, and I don't even know why. I mean, it's just, I don't really know when it's on. I'm not looking forward to sitting down in the evening like the old days, you know, where they taped things and it was on one channel. I mean, it was, you brought your whole family together. I don't know why. I just am not that interested in it right now. And, you know, hopefully, you know, 4 years from now I am. But I will say this, Dave, like, I think this is interesting. You mentioned rowboat. And I'm thinking everybody's been saying that you want to take Cody Barton on a date. You and Cody could do a little rowboat time, have some good conversation, kind of like Little Mermaids, you know, when he took her through the
I've not seen that movie, Paul.
Tweet out where you two should go on a date. I'm gonna find out from the 12s what they think.
Paul really is enjoying this thing.
What Paul is doing right now is he's pandering to the texters. Yeah. They're jumping on the pile, dog pile. Yeah, I get it. We had a nice talk. We had a nice visit with Cody. It wasn't awkward at all. Yeah, so. Everybody was like saying that I was like Chris Farley, like
the nervous interviewer.
Cody, you're awesome.
Remember that play you made?
Do you remember that time when you
that was cool? That was cool. Yeah. Hey, by the way, another bit of baseball news I'm seeing on Twitter here. Didn't we report earlier that Max Scherzer was going to the San Diego Padres? Well, Jeff Passan 4 minutes ago says the Dodgers are making significant progress on a deal that would send them star right-hander Max Scherzer and star shortstop Trey Turner from the Washington Nationals for a prospect-laden return.
Sheesh.
So I guess the report of the Padres deal was a little too early, and now, according to Passan 4 minutes ago, the Dodgers are working on a deal that will send Scherzer and Trey Turner over to L.A. So the rich get richer.
The Dodgers already have a $250 million payroll, which is dwarfs any team in Major League Baseball. The Mariners on their 26-man roster, I think they're at $58 million right now. If you throw in all the injuries, they're around 80. You put in these two guys that they're about to pick, who are both phenomenal players too. I mean, you're talking close to $300 million.
Wow. It's good to be a Dodgers fan, I guess, right? It's good to be. It'd be interesting to be a fan of a team, whether it's, you know, football, obviously you're dealing with a cap situation, but a baseball team where you just know every year they're just going to go out and open the purse strings and we're just going to buy what we need. We're just going to get it. You're a Yankees fan, you're a Dodgers fan, whatever, one of those big spending clubs out there. That's really amazing.
Yeah, and if you can afford the excise tax or whatever they have for going over a certain number, which the Dodgers can't.
Luxury tax, like, yeah.
Who cares? Bring it on. We have plenty of luxury. We can keep playing this game for a while. I mean, the Yankees were the first big market team to finally say, we probably need to pull this back. And I know we've had this conversation before, too. To me, the NBA has the best system because the way they tier it. And, you know, you can be a superstar, but there's a lot of superstars. You're all making about the same money. So, you know, where do you slot people? And then you don't have the Aaron Rodgers issue of, well, they've been slighted or they've been lowballed or they've been disrespected. I like that. Yeah, you know what? We can only have so many of these guys in this tier. You know, we'll find them. But I think the NBA actually has it probably the best way.
Hey, Paul, any other thoughts? We talked with you earlier about a number of things, about what you saw out here, but you did a little, you did the online thing, right? On Seahawks.com every year, they have a couple analysts like yourself, but anything else that stood out to you that kind of piqued your interest?
Well, I mean, may have talked a little bit about this earlier, but since we have new listeners, I really like Akella Weatherspoon. I did a breakdown on him, and I think we talked maybe last week too, but we have a lot of depth in the secondary, and it's not household names. But if he stays healthy, you watch him on the field. I mean, he is fantastic getting in front of guys on the jam. I mean, he's really fluid with it. He's very tall, lanky, runs fantastic, good hands. You know, we have a chance to be a very good secondary. There are so many still question marks on our team, but you in camp today, Dave, you watch these young guys flying around. I mean, we look young, athletic, fast. So I'm excited to really see how the secondary plays out. We got some veterans there that we brought in, you know, this year and a little bit last year that I think are going to fight Trey Brown. I think Trey Brown's got a battle. I mean, I don't think he's going to start. I mean, that's a big road, but I mean, just to get playing time initially his first year. I mean, he's going to have to play really well to unseat some of these players. So it's going to be good competition.
How do you think the 49ers will feel if Akella Witherspoon and DJ Reed are your starting cornerbacks against their biggest rival in the West, and they're not just starting, but they're effective.
And Kerry Hyder is the leading sack.
Yeah, I mean, just Schneider just pilfering their roster and turning guys that they thought were surplus into stars.
Well, I think Garoppolo will probably get up and make a statement and talk about how their organization lowballs players and disrespects them. That would be awesome. And they're both good football players. Actually, all three of them are really good football players. And I think their best football is ahead of them. Hyder, I think he's 30 right now. He's playing his best football. Reed had his best year. Witherspoon, if you go look at the last three games of last year, when he really, I thought, finally played relaxed and confident. Man, he's huge upside, just huge. So, too bad for them. Good for us.
Paul, the answer to your question is $1.73. He asked the question, how much did we raise for my GoFundMe account for my 60th birthday? I had people come up to me and ask me if you started the account.
Yep.
Really?
I was at Kenny Easley Golf Tournament last week. And by the way, it was amazing. I've never had that many people come up and talk about the segment we do together, how much they love it. So that was nice. Good. But then a guy heard about the GoFundMe account and he goes, hey, are they going to start one for you? And I go, I think we're probably just teasing, but if it's only $1.73, I'm very disappointed, Dave.
Well, we're just getting started.
I would have hoped you would have thrown in 100.
I'd say by the end of the year, we'd be up to maybe $5. That'd be good. Oh, no. I'll buy you a beer.
I'm going to seed it myself with 10 grand.
And say, people love me. Look.
See, look at me. Yeah. So you can write it off, Paul.
I don't think that math still works. Well, no, if I get it and I can write it off, that's a win-win. Yeah,
that's there a double win. That's a double dip right there. Paul, we appreciate it. We appreciate the double dip today. We got twice the dosage of Paul Moyer, and everybody wins in that scenario. We'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it. Have a great evening.
There you go. There's Paul Moyer with us every single week, joining us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. A reminder that our Seahawks training camp coverage is presented by Precor Home Fitness. Coming up, Mariners trade deadline update, moves being made in baseball, big move in the NBA as well. We'll unveil all of that coming up. It's Wyman and Bob live from the VMAC on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wyman and Bob,
live from Seahawks training camp
on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue our coverage live from the VMAC. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. People texting in. You guys can text in whenever you'd like, 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line. People trying to get a jump on the mean text, Dave. And yes, to answer somebody's question, we will do it tomorrow. We do have a short show, but even if we're doing an hour show, we always squeeze in mean texts.
Well, people are starting to text it in like earlier and earlier every week.
Yeah.
Like mean texts are coming in on Tuesday. I'm hoping that's what they're trying to do. Or maybe they're just mean.
It could be. As long as they're creative, I don't care.
Fixated on your head, Bob.
Yeah, maybe because I'm not wearing a hat and I'm just putting – I've got ice wrapped up in paper towels on top of my head. I've been doing this all day. But this person said, Bob, I used to think that you only wore one headphone because they didn't fit on your small head. But now I know that you do that in the studio to keep your regular-sized hat on your small head. So how do you do to keep your hat on the rest of the time? Karate magic? That's your favorite line of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Dave's favorite line.
No, I get a kick out of that one. I actually think I'm funny. So, yeah. When you laugh at your own jokes, that's not good. It's not a good thing. But, yeah, they like doing it earlier and earlier. And, by the way, we're out here. We've got the tornado.
These are
little dandelion.
Like, I thought the dandelions were the things you blew on and they all.
That's what these are.
Those look different.
I believe so. We used to call them fairies.
But
they're little fairies.
They're everywhere.
Around. Yeah, so they're all stuck in the back of my fan. We've got the Vornado out here, folks.
Thank goodness.
This is one fan that we have, and we're just taking turns. Like right now, I'm getting Taylor Jacobs a little bit of air over there. But we need some more. We need some more fan.
We need
power
reinforcements.
Out here.
Either that, or just have to have Dave Pearson come out here and blow on us.
Whoa! Hold on a minute.
So you heard what I said. So things going on in baseball. The Mariners made a trade where they pick up a reliever and a very good one from the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for JT Chargois and a minor leaguer that few, if any, have heard of. So. On the surface, you like that deal. The other update is not a good one, and that's Hector Santiago. He of the 10-game suspension for rosin has now been suspended 80 games for performance-enhancing drug use, some sort of testosterone he was taking that was banned by the joint drug agreement with the league. So he is out the rest of the season. Obviously, what are there's 59 games left, I think, something like that. So. He's done for the rest of the year, so that's a hit to the bullpen.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you're getting a huge the get with the Chargois trade, but man, Hector Santiago, that's that's tough news there. I mean, and you already lost him for 10 games earlier. So, and the bullpen's been taxed a little bit, and they've been having to have the bullpen days because of the injuries and things like that. So. Good move for a closer, but yeah, that's all of a sudden it's starting to become, maybe this is where there is some kind of correction. People are, somebody was texting in saying, oh, this can't continue. Like, we're pretty far into the season.
What can't continue?
Oh, the Mariners winning these close games.
Oh, the same guy record. Saying they were getting lucky and taking advantage of the other team's mistakes.
I mean, it would be, nonsense. Yeah, if they're getting lucky and taking advantage of other people's mistakes, 30 games, 50 games, okay. But not at this point.
Yeah, you're over 100 games. You've got 50-plus games left to play. You are who you are at this point.
Right.
You got a pretty clear picture of what's going on. So we'll see who they are when the trade deadline is done tomorrow. We gave you this news a bit earlier, Jeff Passan tweeting about 22 minutes ago that the L.A. Dodgers are making significant progress on a deal that would send them star right-hander Max Scherzer and star shortstop Trey Turner, who a lot of people out here were very interested in from the Washington Nationals, for a prospect-laden return. So a bevy of prospects going to Washington if that deal is consummated. We had had a report earlier that the Padres came up with Max Scherzer, but apparently that is not the case. So the Dodgers are in the mix, and I saw somebody else tweet, Paul was talking about their finances and what their payroll is. Apparently, we forgot all about Trevor Bauer, and there's a feeling they could use that salary, depending on how that turns out, to apply towards this deal. So
I haven't heard from anything about Trevor Bauer, but yeah, interesting that we thought, oh man, look at San Diego and what they're doing. And apparently, that was a false report. How many more of those do you think
that
we're
going to
see?
That was a hoax.
Yeah. How many more of those do you think we're going to see before the trade deadline gets here?
Probably a bunch. And one bit of, and I know people have a love-hate relationship with the NBA, but this is a big name going to a big team. The Washington Wizards have agreed to trade Russell Westbrook in a 2024 second-round pick, a 2028 second-round pick to the Los Angeles Lakers for Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, and the number 22 pick, I guess is what they're saying there. Hmm. How about that?
Big deal.
Wow. So Russell Westbrook will be with Davis and LeBron James, and that could be scary. They can figure out if Westbrook can learn how to be a distributor.
I get pretty excited when, you get trades like that. I mean, I think it's a big deal. And I always think, gosh, how do they put these things together? And last year we were talking about Carlos Dunlap and I'm just thinking, yeah, that could never happen, right? Well, the year before that, it was Jadeveon Clowney. So, I mean, the Seahawks.
Jamal Adams.
Yeah. And then the Adams thing. And he's like, remember, when I think Jake Heaps broke that news that, they might be looking at him. And I just remember thinking, no way. But, yeah, sure enough, it happened. And, you just think about all of the trades, speaking of trades, that the Seahawks have been in on. And some of the moves that they've made some very significant moves.
Yeah, they don't always work out. But in terms of just, billboard material, I mean,
right.
Percy Harvin, Jimmy Graham, Dwayne Brown, Jamal Adams. I mean, these aren't just little side deals and we're going to bolster our depth. I mean, these are big-time names that come here, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But, yeah, the Jamal Adams, Jadeveon Clowney, and those seem like pipe dreams at the time. and they were able to pull him off.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, signing Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett. So, yeah, they've always been a big part of that. But it takes some stones to do that. I mean, you're really kind of taking a big chance, especially if you're trading away draft capital like the Seahawks did for Jamal Adams. So, I think maybe we undersell or, you know, underestimate, once again, John Schneider and the job that he's done, you know, pulling off some pretty big moves. Now, yeah, some of them haven't worked out. So we would like to have the whole Percy Harvin thing. He was so good. I still like the Percy Harvin trade, Bob. I still like it. I'm telling you, I loved that guy. He just couldn't get along with his teammates, but he was great in the media, and he was one of those guys like, I'll run down on kickoffs. I don't care. I'll do whatever you want. And he just seemed like the greatest team guy ever, and that did not work out good.
Yeah, if you were in, and I know we're up against the break, but the way these super teams are built in the NBA, and we've seen it a number of times with, you know, LeBron going to Miami, and hey, there's Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and, you know, you can go Shaq and Kobe, you can go Kevin Garnett to Boston with Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. I mean, it's been going on, and, you know, Kevin Durant moving around. If you could have done that in your career with in the NFL, and it makes it much harder, obviously, with the system in place, would you have done that? Would you have said, you know, that team's stacked. I'm going there.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys take heat for it. Like, oh, yeah, you can't win on your own. You can't build your own team. You got to go to this, you know, this assembled team. And they're sort of looked down upon. KD takes a lot of heat for that.
Everybody wants to win. Like I was saying earlier, you like every team you were on, did you think you could win a Super Bowl? And yeah, I was like, yeah. I honestly did believe that. Now, I was a stupid 24-year-old kid, but still, that's how you have to think. So, and everybody wants that. That's what everybody wants. And that's one of the reasons why it's been such an attractive destination here in Seattle. 9 out of 11 times you're getting in the playoffs, you're getting a chance.
I'm gonna read this as Lefko wrote it. There's a big story building in the Seahawks training camp, and it isn't just how hot it is out here. That's coming up with Wyman.
Are we complaining too much?
It's coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We're just watching Warriors highlights and not the team, the movie from the 70s.
Oh, that was a creepy dude.
Yes, he was. He played that role very well. I don't remember his name, but every movie I've seen him in, he plays a creepy dude.
That'd be great. You get a career, make millions of dollars for playing a creep. he's the guy with the bottles on his finger that's going,
yeah.
Warriors.
Clanging the bottles. Let's see if we can hear.
Can you hear that? Text it in.
So funny, man.
We're loopy right now.
We are, man.
It is lost.
People don't understand being in a contained tent, how it eliminates any breeze that may be coming, and it's sort of like it's got a sauna effect to it.
He forgot to wear his buttless chaps. He was going to wear buttless chaps down here on his motorcycle. Just let the air flow through. I wanted to call him something different.
Yes,
we've been referring to them as something different, but yeah it's a little warm down here. There's no airflow. But there was a Seahawk assistant something or other. I don't know what he did. He brought us what he does here, but he brought us some towels, and we're trying to cool down here.
Very nice of him. Very nice of him to do that. Hey, we played a cut earlier. If you've got that cut of Pete answering the Dwayne Brown question, Mike, that'd come in handy here because we played that earlier, and he had a very positive response to Jamal Adams and, hey, you know, everything's amicable, and we're feeling good, and we're going to get this done. And then he was asked about Dwayne Brown wanting a new deal, and here's his response.
There's still any talks in the contract with him?
We're not talking right now about that.
For Pete, that's kind of terse.
Yeah, he shut him down.
Is that any reason to be nervous about that? Or, I mean, even if he didn't want to talk about it, Pete'd be like, hey, listen, we're dealing with one thing at a time, or we're going to take care of all these guys, we're going to get things figured. He would have something to say, but that was just not talking about it.
Trying to remember if he's done that before. I mean, I know Pete, he'll get irritated, which you know, 99% of the time he's not. He's great up at the podium. He's not like Bill Belichick. You know, he's always been that way. So it kind of – I didn't take it as anything being, I guess, concerning. I don't see how that would happen either. I put Dwayne Brown in the same category as I would put Jamal Adams, that he's coming from a place where he hated it.
Right.
He clearly hated it. He loves it up here. Every time we've interviewed him, he's talked about how great it is, and you know, and he's got a home and all that. Loves it up here. So I have a hard time believing that it's going to be anything. That he was being that terse because there's a problem with the contract. And as a matter of fact, if there was a problem with the contract, he would probably be saying the opposite, you know, just like, yeah, we're going to get something worked out. I have a lot of confidence. But, yeah, that was kind of an interesting response.
Yeah. Does
it worry you?
I'm just curious more than worried, I guess. I guess I'm not worried, but, you know, I think we take Dwayne Brown for credit or for granted, excuse me, because he's a guy that he's not a – He's just so rock solid that you don't really talk about him much. He just goes out there and he always does his job. And that's the most important position on that line. You are protecting the blind side of a right-handed quarterback as a left tackle. And you've got $35 million a year invested in this quarterback. And without him, this team's not winning. Sorry, Geno. Sorry, every other backup. But they're not going to go anywhere without Russell Wilson. So that's an incredibly important spot. He still plays really, really well. And that's like trying to find a center for a basketball team, right? There's so many. It's like the quarterback. You're trying to find that elusive franchise quarterback. The left tackle is the same thing. You see, you see teams blow pick after pick trying to find that franchise left tackle, and they're fairly elusive, and he's one of the best.
Well, you had him as your fourth best Seahawk.
Yeah.
And I had him an eighth, top 10.
Why do you hate him?
Well, he's an offensive lineman. I mean, come on.
He's a cheater.
He can only go so far with offensive linemen. But no, you're right. It's one of those things, I've said this a million times, that you don't want to have to talk about your kicker. You don't want to worry about your kicker. Like, if you're not talking about him, and maybe you're a talk show host and you can't remember his name, that's a good thing. It's a good thing because he's solid. You don't have to. His name has not become a curse word.
Right.
So, you know, like Fernando Rodney. But the other thing is, the other position is, you're right, you're blindside tackled, especially if you have a guy like Russ. You just want to not worry about him. You don't want to even talk about him. And he just does a solid job. Said this the other day. I'm always shocked when you see Dwayne Brown get beat. Yeah. It's always like, wow, he beat Dwayne Brown.
It's like Tyler Lockett not making a catch.
Yeah.
You're surprised. You're like, wow, how did that happen?
Remember in Miami, he had one that he dropped this year, Tyler Lockett, and you're just like, wow, it's almost like you run it back just because it's so rare. You want to see it. Did I really see that?
Yeah.
So same thing with Dwayne Brown. You just, you know, you're shocked that he gets beat. So, yeah, I don't see how they both would come so far, because that was a mid-season trade too, right, in 2017 when they got Dwayne in here and, you know, got him signed. And, you know, I would think he would retire a Seahawk and that they would give him a good deal. And especially if you didn't, I mean, all the stuff that you have done presumably for Russell Wilson, getting him a target in Gerald Everett, getting him a guard, you know, getting a new offensive coordinator, and then you decide to not get the left tackle that's going to protect his blind side, I would think that would be very unlikely as far as being in their plans.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I'll be interested to see if the media follows up with Pete on that and just if he's got a different response or if he elaborates more, hey, we're working on it or whatever, just something vague in general. He's good at that.
Well, I think he caught everybody off guard because he typically doesn't do that. So, yeah, you're right. I was thinking the same thing, you know, and maybe tomorrow Bob Condotta or whoever just say, hey, was there anything to the way you answered that question? Because that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that probably, but anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, don't call him weird.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that. By the way, somebody correcting you or saying you're being redundant. The 360, chaps are only chaps if they are buttless. All chaps are buttless, so that's unnecessarily redundant. You know what chaps with a butt are called, Dave? Pants.
This guy knows way too much about buttless chaps.
Yeah, it's just redundancy, I guess, in the eyes of our listeners. We always appreciate the input from you guys on the text, 710-710. That's going to do it for us. I want to thank our guest today, Cody Barton, John Clayton, and Paul Moyer, all joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, all you need to do is head to 710sports.com, click that podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that, and everything you missed is waiting there for you each and every day. We'll be back with you tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.